Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever player profile. Today I'm here with Skip Newton from the Devy Happy Hour, Devy writer over for Sports Illustrated. We were talking before the show, and like you kind of gave your gateway into this drug that we call Devy. And I think that's an awesome story. I don't know if you want to try to duplicate it or not, but what got you started into Devy and to make some of these turns? And and I was talking to Brandon Lejeune recently, and we kind of mentioned how easy it is to make any one of your dynasty leagues into a Devy league today. Going way off topic, what got you into this crazy beast?
You know, that's a great question. First, you know, thanks for having me on the show. It's one of those things where, you know, I started getting into dynasty leagues and then listening to more and more podcasts, and that's how I got introduced to Devy, is through those podcasts. And one of them was the Dynasty Happy Hour, and of course they had then the Devy Happy Hour podcast, you know, just shows up on the same feed, and all of a sudden they're talking about college players, and I'm thinking, wow, this is new and interesting. And got opportunities to get into Devy leagues, and you know, by then I was a total novice. You know, I'm taking advice from anyone, and I got to give my shout out to Ray Garvin, because he was DMing me back and forth, you know, helping me with my first ever Devy draft. So that was awesome, and he'll still do that today. I mean, the guy's just fantastic. But you know, I'm listening to that, really getting into it, and then Tyler Gunther, the Dynasty Happy Hour, that they need new hosts for the Devy Happy Hour. And after a couple of weeks, I decided to throw my name into the ring, and they had just filled the left spot. But then after one episode, one of the co-hosts had to step down because his life, you know, got in the way, as it often does. And so Tyler said, "You're it if you're still interested." And that got me in. And I was in with, you know, with Matt Jackson. We still do the Devy Happy Hour today. And Brian Chikochis, who had to step down because, like I just said, life got in the way. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of the start. And eventually I got asked to join the Dynasty Draft Room, and that became NFL Draft Bible on Sports Illustrated. And it just kind of took off from there. But it's been a fun ride, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, an absolute learning journey, it seems like you were on up until this point. I mean, right from the beginning, and just you jumped in full tilt. Good for you.
Yeah, and then started joining Campus to Canton leagues. Again, Brian Chikochis, the godfather of Campus to Canton, you know, talked me into one of those. And it's, you know, the startup was a couple of years ago, and it's like, you know, and I knew going in, I'm like, all right, this is way deeper than Devy, but I'm going to utilize this as an opportunity to force myself to learn, to dig deeper. I mean, I'm probably going to not be very successful, at least on the college side, but I can learn, and this will help. So I get the invite to the league. And I mean, it is just the who's who of Devy. I mean, we've already named, you know, Brandon, Ray Garvin, you know, Kane Fasel, you know, Jared Wackerly, Travis May. I mean, it's just, you know, bam, 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 Matt Hicks. I mean, it was like, what have I gotten myself into? These are just, you know, Felix Sharp, another guy. I mean, just all the sharks. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a definite learning curve, but a good one. And you know, I look back on that, and I'm really glad I made the decision, but wow, that was tough.
And like you said there at the beginning of that, you learn so much more, even in that like Campus to Canton league, which I'm not in, I'm not speaking of that one, but I do recognize like how that helps you to Devy, and then Devy helps you to Dynasty, and Dynasty helps you to Keeper, and Keeper helps you to redraft, and that like natural progression of the sickness that we're into. And I don't know if I'm ready for that though, Skip. I don't know,
it's a big leap. And especially, so, you know, the
Felix
first season
trying hard on me, but
yeah, the first season was 2020, and all of the Campus to Canton leads pretty much, they canceled the 2020 college portion because the college football was so messed up because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And so this past fall was the first actual season where I was, you know, having to set a lineup on the college side. And that was amazingly more difficult than what I was expecting. You know, I knew from the player perspective that trying to win on college was a lot more challenging than just Devy, because it's not necessarily your best Devy players make your best college football players. I mean, you know, it can be guys that are just racking up points in these smaller conferences, but you're never, you know, they're never going to touch an NFL field. But, you know, the biggest one I never saw coming is that the lack of injury information in college football. I mean, the lesson I learned, you know, fairly quickly was if a guy's even remotely hurt, get him out, because there's a chance he's never going to play and you won't know. Like the NFL, you know well in advance if a guy is going to at least be active and what his chances are of seeing, you know, enough time to be fantasy relevant. College, it's a complete and total, you might, you know, blindfold yourself, throw a dart, and you might get lucky. So yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, I can't imagine, but it makes sense when you think about it too, just like with the stars that we're dealing with in the NFL versus the kids in college that coaches kind of need to protect a little bit differently, and parents and whatnot. I mean, there's a lot more involved, whether you like it or not.
Yes, exactly.
So follow at SkipNewton31 on Twitter for all of that stuff he just gave you, and join his journey. Skip, you picked an Ohio State guy.
I did.
And I'm in Michigan. I always watch some of these guys before I get on for an interview, so I had to see Chris Olave tearing it up against Michigan in some of these highlights, actually. But why did you choose Chris Olave?
You know, I wanted to pick a guy that, you know, wasn't in everybody's consensus top, you know, three or four players, and I really liked his game. And it seems like the more people are, you know, starting getting into rookie mode, you know, they're not as high as Olave as I am, which is good. You know, I love hearing, you know, contracting or conflicting opinions, especially from the people that I, you know, I communicate with all the time and we chat and I really respect. So, you know, they always make me, you know, kind of relook at my analysis, but thought it was good to pick a player that I was a little bit higher on than everyone else. And I also noticed, you know, a few times I'll hear comments about, you know, wow, he was third on his team in you know, wide receiver production. How good can he be? And that's one where I wanted to caution listeners that if that's your main, you know, gripe on Chris Olave, you really need to look back at the film. I mean, I'm going to go back no further than a couple of years ago when Alabama had, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Waddle. I'm sure you are aware of Jalen Waddle as you continuously try to trade for him from me. But, you know, they had all four of these guys, and in a 2-year span, they were all four were first round draft picks. And just because there's a lot of talent on a roster, you know, doesn't mean you need to necessarily worry as much about the production, because, you know, clearly the production's gonna change depending on the course of the game or the season, however. But, you know, you look back at, and I use that team because I think these guys at Ohio State, you know, Olave and Wilson and Jackson Smith and Jigba, they're all going to be first round picks, or at least could be first round picks. And that just tells you that the NFL is going to see these guys as really talented players. And we should make sure that we, you know, follow the NFL's lead in that regard.
And a great route runner. You mentioned Jerry Jeudy. I've actually heard him comped to Jerry Jeudy. Do you feel like there's any accuracy within that, or is that a little bold?
I think there probably is. I'm really bad at comps, so I try not to
them, to be honest,
to force it.
You mentioned Jerry Jeudy, so I was like, okay, let's go there.
I think some of the skills, some of the things that the traits that people liked or still like about Jeudy are the same. You know, the a good route runner. You know, he creates separation. Outstanding hands, you know, and the field awareness as well. You'll see many times where he's making, you know, catches either in the end zone or on the sidelines, and he's able to get, you know, not just one, but oftentimes 2 feet down. So it's almost like he's prepping himself, you know, mentally and physically for the NFL game. So
you heard me on Rookie Fever. You know, I love those toe taps for some reason.
Oh yeah, those are the best. So, you know, just a smooth player. I did, you know, the more I watched him, and the funny thing is, when I first started watching Olave, I was, you know, quite a bit worse, you know, as far as my opinion on him. And just the more I watched him, the more I was like, wow, this guy is really, really good. And he's got some speed. I mean, he can beat players deep. So he's not just an underneath possession guy. He lines up all over the field. So I think there's a lot of variety in the ways that an NFL team can use him.
Any concerns?
Well, like any player, you at least need to figure out, you know, what are the possible reasons why it might not go as well. I think, you know, I've heard other people say this, and I'm buying into it too, that sometimes he'll round off a route a little bit instead of making that really sharp cut that you know, your best route runners use to really create separation. So I think that's something that he can work on, and hopefully he has that kind of, you know, self-awareness and work ethic to say, all right, I can, you know, I'm already pretty good. I need to do this to be, you know, one of the best in the league. So that's one. I think in order for him to reach his ceiling, that's what he needs to do. And then he's not what I'll say a great guy as far as yards after the catch. You know, if someone's close, I mean, he's not going to break tackles or make guys look silly and miss. If he's got space, he can use his speed and angles to get yards after the catch, but not one of those guys that's going to, you know, out physical, you know, a would-be tackler.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I won't even lie. Kind of when you say some of that stuff, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown could be that guy.
That's an interesting comparison, because I, you know, as part of this, I was looking at, you know, guys from last year and who do you, you know, where would you fall? And I'm thinking, you know, he's a better prospect than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm-hmm. And look at the kinds of things he did, especially when the volume started coming in. You know, so there's the ceiling right there. Like, okay, if he becomes the wide receiver one on a team and they just start throwing the ball all over the place, those are the kind of numbers he can put up for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned NFL teams a little bit as well, and like how they'll start to feel about him moving forward. What kind of draft capital do you think will go into Chris Olave?
You know, I've been paying a lot of attention to mocks, and it seems like some of them I see him slip into round one, even as high as the late teens. Others, early round two. So I think that's probably a pretty good assessment of where he's going to be. You know, end of round one, beginning of round two. That would be ideal. I'd be really surprised if he slipped, you know, like even to round three. That would be shocking. But you know, you mentioned Amon-Ra and he fell to what, early round four, which I didn't expect either. So you know, like strange things happen on draft day. But yeah, I think he'll be good enough to get that kind of draft capital that we like as fantasy analysts for sure.
Yeah, and it's tough too then to, and we're so early out, but to try to imagine a landing spot and where his skill sets will end up fitting into. Even I'm trying to think, like, as we go here, and there's so many teams that need some wide receivers too. What if we put him in Philly with Devonta Smith?
That would be interesting. You know, my take has always been, you know, it's really important to get, you know, a passing team or a good passing quarterback. I mean, you know, part of what makes, you know, Chase and Higgins so great in Cincinnati is they're paired with, you know, with Burrow, and you know they're locked in for years. So just, you know, fantastic, you know, value there and production. So Philly, you know, Jalen Hurts can have decent games, but he'll have other games where his accuracy problems tend to surface. So that would concern me, that I don't know if that offense can support, you know, two productive wide receivers. And I really like, you know, Devonta Smith. I would love it to be more of a team, you know, like the Los Angeles Chargers, you know, who could use another wide receiver. Even the Raiders, who, you know, they don't have Ruggs anymore, so they've got the whole, I mean, Zay Jones was actually fantasy relevant, for crying out loud there. Arizona could use one.
Or the year before.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like these weird out of nowhere guys, and you know, and everybody says this and they get super excited, and I've always been cautious about this particular team, but you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are a team that just seemed desperate for a solid number two wide receiver to go with Hill. And I know as long as Kelce is there, that wide receiver is more than likely the third option, but I think that team could even support three fantasy relevant, you know, pass catchers. And Kelsey's getting up there. We don't know, you know, how many more years is he going to be, you know, one of the best options. So, you know, it might be something where you have to wait, you know, a couple seasons, but that would be great too. And these are just a few teams I kind of grabbed near the, the later part of the first round. I thought, okay, if he gets first round draft capital, these might be some really attractive landing spots. You know, another team you don't know, because you know who knows what's going to happen in Green Bay, right? If Green Bay finally takes a wide receiver like we've been wanting for years, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to be there? Is Davante Adams going to be there? You know, so that it could be a nice big hole for a player, but then we don't know, you know, who's throwing the ball and how's that going to look?
Right. Yeah. The tough one too in Philly is I feel like they've had a problem developing wide receivers, and then you mentioned, gosh, what was the other one you just mentioned before the Packers?
Oh, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs and Travis Kelce. Even, I think last year was the first year, I don't want to say the first year, but where I think it was a little bit more alarming and Travis Kelce started to get beat up a little bit easier. I think the miles started to show and he's just questionable a little bit more. And he's 31. He's going to be 32 coming into the season. He's a beast. Don't get me wrong, but who knows, man. And even if he spends some time out, like I don't mind that landing spot, actually. Mecole Hardman wasn't the guy.
Yeah, he just feels like a really nice kind of, you know, role player for that team, you know, with his speed. But yeah, he hasn't developed into a guy that's so reliable. You know, he's going to get, you know, 5-6, you know, catches a game. That's just not happening.
Like, what would you think of his ceiling? Wide receiver 2?
I mean, I think that's the likely outcome. You know, I mean, if he gets, you know, you get on a team and you get the kind of volume of a Waddle, or you get in the perfect landing spot like Chase, you know, maybe a wide receiver 1, but he's not, you know, he's not that kind of a prospect, at least, you know, in my opinion. If we were to, you know, if he had come out after his junior season, like many people thought he should last year, then he wouldn't have been in that tier, right? He would have been, I think, right below those top three guys that we've mentioned, you know, the Chase and Waddle and Smith. But I have him as someone who I would put above, you know, everyone else, or maybe right even with
Bateman.
Well, I was going to say right even with a Rashad Bateman before the Baltimore Ravens drafted him. And a lot of people didn't like that landing spot, including me. I'm, you know, a volume problem there. But yeah, he would have been kind of on that second tier with Bateman. I think it would have been a great analysis of him.
I like that. I'm in a Debbie league that I have Bateman. You've got me thinking. I want out of Bateman.
I only have one, and I grabbed him. I traded for him in a league where I was just trying to get rid of Ronald Jones, and the guy offered me Bateman, and I snap accepted that. I was like, oh, well, thank you. I'll take that.
I'd take the Bateman side over Ronald Jones as well. Definitely. I didn't do that, did I?
No. No, that was one of Scott Fish's pigs leagues.
Okay. Dave and I were talking, Dave Wright, Spaceman, and I were talking the other day on Twitter, and the conversation came up about Rondale Moore. But where I'm going with this is, I mean, even to be a wide receiver 3, I need like 700 to 800 yards out of you and 4 to 6 touchdowns. And sometimes people don't get quite how tough that feat could be to be in our like a top 36 wide receiver, let alone a wide receiver 2. So is that floor worse than that wide receiver 3 area?
I think that's his floor. I mean, that just, it feels like he's going to be good enough quickly enough, at least his rookie season, to get up to a wide receiver 3. I was kind of looking at the rookies from this past season and seeing, you know, where did they fall. And that was the same observation I made, is like, wow, it's, you know, it's, you know, people think, wow, Amon-Ra had a great finish. Devonta Smith quietly had a much better season than I think people realize. You know, everyone knows, you know, Chase and Waddle were great, but you know, it was hard for those other two to get up near a wide receiver 2, and they had to really do some good things. So, you know, if you get a rookie in his first season and he gets wide receiver 3 numbers, that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's you know, yeah, you got to be patient and say, all right, this can happen. We've been spoiled the last couple of years with these wide receivers. They come in as rookies and they do great things right away, and we forget that it used to be the year 3 breakout. Now it's like, man, if he doesn't have a year 1 breakout, we're done, and we want to get rid of him. And that's a dangerous mentality to get in a dynasty league.
Think about how many opportunities you've had to acquire Hunter Renfrow for really cheap over the last few years, like from them drafting wide receivers to bringing in Antonio Brown. I know none of it worked out, but that's kind of my point, is some of that's going to happen too with, I'll use Amon-Ra St. Brown for an example. Some of that's going to happen as well. Like when you get into those situations, we're going to create narratives that are going to put people like Hunter Renfro in our fantasy doghouse, even when he was like second or third highest targeted wide receiver in the league this year with like the second highest catch rate. That's absurd. But think about how many opportunities we've had to acquire players like him.
Yep. Yeah. And I love that you brought up,
think that all these players are going to hit.
Right. And I love that you brought up Hunter Renfro, because I'm still high on him. And even if like, let's say, you know, my scenario played out where the Raiders selected, Chris Olave or another rookie, in round one, I'm not dropping Renfro in my rankings. It's like, no, I think they can support those two. Even if Waller comes back and starts taking, hopefully taking a lot of targets, because I got a lot of Waller in leagues. But I think Renfro's game is so good, and it's just his style is so set that he's still going to be productive. I
agree.
I think he's kind of proof that no matter what happens, he's going to be good. And clearly Carr trusts him. So that's a nice combo.
Yep. If you like Cooper Kupp, go get Hunter Renfro, a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And that is no like shade on Cooper Kupp. We'll skip ahead a little bit. Who's your guy in this draft?
The guy that I have been high on for over a year in Devy, and so I've got a few shares of him already, and I would love to add more, is wide receiver Treylon Burks from Arkansas. I think he can be that next, closest thing to just a physical freak of an athlete, where he's just so much better than everybody else that he's going to be almost impossible to stop. I mean, I think that's his ceiling anyway. I mean, he's big, he's fast, he's got huge hands, he makes the spectacular catches. I think the sky is the limit for this guy. And I actually yelled at Zach Patrow over at NFL Draft Bible, because he keeps doing these Monday mocks and he keeps putting him in Cleveland. I'm like, dude, stop. Stop that right now. Nobody wants that. To anywhere but Cleveland, please.
Not with Baker there. That's for damn sure. Maybe
right.
Maybe if you tell me Case Keenum's starting, I might like it a little bit more. I mean, just because of the different styles of play. Completely honestly, I'm not saying Case Keenum's the answer in Cleveland, but I don't want my wide receivers going there either.
Yeah, and well, and they're so run heavy. I mean, what, they got a great 1-2 punch at running back, so that it just, the volume doesn't seem to be what you want for a stud rookie wide receiver. So unless they're willing to change, that would be not good.
You mentioned you're a little bit higher on Olave than a lot of the other Devy analysts. Where do you think he sits for most?
Where's consensus? I think consensus is right around wide receiver 5 or 6. You'll hear guys that have him as high as 2 or 3. I've got him 3, behind Burks and behind Wilson, but other guys maybe as low as 7 or 8. So that's one of the reasons why I'm definitely higher than what I'm hearing in the Devy community and where they've got him. But hopefully that means that I can get him at value. I mean, I think in some rookie mocks he's dropping the end of the first round, early second even, which that can be outstanding. I mean, we saw it last year too with a couple of guys. Devonta Smith sometimes fell. Elijah Moore definitely went in the second round. And it's going to be a lot like last year, I think, in that regard, is that, the wide receivers are deeper and can be had near the end of your rookie first rounds. The biggest difference we'll see is that there might not be as many quarterbacks taken, just because, we're not going to see 5 quarterbacks in the first 15 picks this year. But, I don't think people should undervalue quarterback, because like we were talking before the show, if you're in a super flex league, those quarterbacks are so valuable, and the rookie draft is the easiest time to get one. And
yeah, it's one of the cheapest places to get a quarterback if you need one. Absolutely. It's crazy though, because I was looking at player value the other day, which I try to not adhere to, but I need to understand it. And Ja'Marr Chase has more value than anybody from our 2021 class in a super flex format.
And it
blew my mind a little bit, just with there being Trevor Lawrence and...
Yeah, I think, well, recency bias matters, of course. We all know that. And he had this, record-breaking, rookie season. And all of the quarterbacks, had their growing pains as rookies. And people tend to start dropping them down, even... even, you know, Mac Jones was a successful NFL quarterback, but from a fantasy standpoint,
right,
you know, it wasn't very good. But, you know, I think that's why people need to just, again, practice patience and understand that, hey, these guys are going to, they're going to develop, you know, especially, you know, you've, what, at least two of them already have new coaches. So that's a reason for optimism, which I really want to see, especially with Justin Fields, because I have a lot of shares of Justin Fields, and at least a couple times I took him over Ja'Marr Chase. Unfortunately, at least right now, looks like a bad decision, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, it's just so easy to get wide receivers compared to quarterbacks in Superflex, whether we like it or not. And that's not saying I don't want some Ja'Marr Chase, but I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, I don't know, go get Hunter Renfrow. Is he going to be Ja'Marr Chase? Like, no, but he, man, he was a wide receiver one this season on the cheap. Same with even Cooper Kupp this year. I don't know.
I threw out on Twitter today, I traded the 111, rookie 111 for Diontae Johnson.
Dude, I saw that.
I couldn't believe the guy hit accept. I don't know. He had him on his trade bait, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to throw out a first-round pick, and maybe he's going to focus on, hey, I'm getting a first-round pick. And I was fully expecting, you know, just the hard pass, or, you know, and kind of hoping for, well, maybe he'll come back with a counter, and that'll start the discussion, and we'll see where this goes. And I did it like last Friday or Saturday, and so I didn't even think about it. All of a sudden, I wake up this morning, I see the email that my trade was accepted. Like, woohoo!
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I'll tell you what. So I have a late first, and I've been trying to do that with it, just because I know, like, at some point it's going to say 110, and it doesn't look quite the same as just 2022 first.
Right. And, you know, I go through the rankings of rookies. I'm like, there's no way I'm taking any one of these guys that's available there over Diontae Johnson. Like, that's a slam dunk decision. No,
absolutely. Because the person that I threw one out for is Josh Jacobs. And Diontae Johnson is valued over Josh Jacobs. But I just still with this league scoring and Josh Jacobs being only 23 and what I think he can do for my team versus what I think I will do with that pick in that spot. I feel like I'm going to get 200 to 240 points out of Josh Jacobs over the fantasy season, but nobody likes Josh Jacobs.
I was just going to say, it's nice to hear that someone else actually likes Josh Jacobs as like I do. I don't have a ton of them, but I like them. I mean, I've got him in Trade Addicts, you know, with you, and it's like, yeah, he's a nice, solid second running back. Yeah. He doesn't need to be a stud. He's going to get me some points.
Yep. The worst part about Josh Jacobs is if you like to trade a lot, you're sort of stuck with him unless you're out of contention, and then you can try to move him to the contenders. But if you like to trade a lot, you are taking on an asset that people are going to constantly crap on unless they really, really, really need a running back.
Yep. So, yeah, that's a good point.
And I like to trade a lot, but I also like to put points in my lineup more, and he just seems so crapped on for what he's proven to us over the is he running back like number one overall or even top five? Like, no, but he's been a solid RB1. Like, he's been top 10 most of his career. So
yeah, and if he gets a few more passes like he did at the end of the season, then that'll really help him with production.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And I think Carr started to trust him more in that role as well. And I'm just not a Kenyon Drake guy either.
Me neither.
So I guess we're kind of there to the final thoughts. And like you need to give these people some killer advice for their rookie drafts. I mentioned if you wanted to take it to some final thoughts, you are more than welcome to.
Yeah. You know, the rookie draft advice I have, and like we were talking about, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, you learn this the hard way, but really try to take the best player available. You know, stick to your rankings. You're going to hear from people that are good analysts out there. They're going to disagree with you, but that's okay, because everybody has their own opinion, does their own analysis. But, you know, stick to what you've got. Take the best player available. You know, don't always draft for need. You know, I mentioned Fields over Chase. You know, it happened to me a couple times, and it seemed like every other opportunity I had to draft Chase, you know, a couple times I needed a running back, so I took like Najee Harris, or one time I was my only opportunity to get Pitts, so I grabbed Pitts. But, you know, it cost me, you know, even though Chase was my wide receiver one last year, I have zero shares. I'm like, so every time he's blowing up this season, I'm just like shrugging and hanging my head like, good grief, I missed on all that. So that, you know, that's one of those things, don't draft for need. But like we mentioned, how quarterbacks are the cheapest in a rookie draft, they also retain their value no matter, how badly their rookie season goes, or even, their second season. If they're a first round NFL quarterback, it's really rare for that NFL team to completely cut bait. I mean, yeah, we saw it, with Arizona, and they took Kyler Murray, the year after, they took what's his face, whose name is escaping me, but that doesn't happen very often. And so they're just going to hold their value, and you're going to be at least in a good position for a couple of seasons to, if you decide you want to move on from them, there's going to be a team that's probably willing to take a chance. So, do that and remember that the quarterbacks will have their value even this year. Any quarterback taken in the first round is going to have value, and that, hopefully everyone knows this already, but draft capital really does matter. And yeah, it's huge, because that's what the NFL is telling you is, they value these guys. And I think we've gotten really good at identifying the outliers to that rule. The guys that, I just don't know, Kadarius Toney, a lot of people are like, not sure he's your typical first round pick, or, Tutu Atwell last year to the Rams was a really weird, draft where a lot of people were just scratching their heads like, what? So those are a lot easier to identify as we go along. But those are my pieces of advice, my final thoughts, at least from a fantasy and rookie standpoint. My other one is just, remember that this is supposed to be fun, and it's okay to get into healthy discussions about players or teams or whatever, but don't need to be a jerk to people. I don't ever get into Twitter arguments. It's like, as soon as someone starts coming at me aggressively, and I'm out, or and it's okay to also let people know, like, oh yeah, that's a fair take. I at least respect that. I might disagree, but I respect that. And it makes this whole thing a lot more fun, and it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. And listen, don't think about what somebody is going to say before they say it. That you're probably putting yourself at an honest disadvantage at that point, because at that point you're really not listening to that person. You have your answer that you want to use to maybe retort before you even hear what they're saying. So many times I find people putting words into other people's mouths, and you see it. I've seen it happen to other people. It's happened to me. It happens to me less and less because I talk on Twitter less now, because it just gets so old. But be a good listener. Don't feel like you have to be thinking when somebody's talking to you or when somebody's typing something to you. Just listen. It just changes things so much.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. I love that.
But this was a lot of fun, Skip. We've got to get together some other time.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a blast.
Advice too. It gave me something else I wanted to add to it, but it
reminded me of,
I already forgot.
I always think of when Brian Haar was on Trade Addicts podcast, and it was, he uses it all the time. Don't be a dick. It's really that simple, people. Just be nice to people.
Yeah, absolutely though. Skip, tell them everywhere they can find you. I know we covered it a lot at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, so still do the Debbie Happy Hour podcast, and doing the weekly NFL Draft Bible podcast network called The Debbie Show. So doing those two podcasts, and then I'll get back into some Debbie writing, once it's kind of that time. Everything's focused right now on the NFL draft, of course, so everything's about rookies and doing some fantasy profiles. But we also do Dynasty and Debbie rankings, so we're working on getting those kind of tuned up, and ready for, redistribution, because we had to get all the incoming rookies into the Dynasty side. So look for those to be updated soon.
I have never heard in any of my leagues, I'm in a lot of leagues, Skip, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say, I need a wide receiver or I'm done.
Right. Yeah. No one says that.
No one says that.
It's a tight end, a quarterback, a running back. But yeah, right?
Nobody ever says, I need a wide receiver or I'm done. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. Be sure to follow at Skip Newton 31 on Twitter. We are Rookie Fever, and we are.
When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night.
One scout has never done this to before and run for told you anyone. Size and speed just unreal landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No, you're for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Fever,
what a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever. Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.